Good evening. How's your Wednesday been?
Good.
Great and good. That's pretty good. Great and good. Well, tonight I want to take my prayer request and I want to start off a little different. I want to go ahead and get in the Word tonight before we do our prayer request. We will do that. So don't let me forget in case I try to forget, all right? So if you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11 with me. Genesis chapter 11. How many of you recall where you were at on September 11, 2001? Most of us can recall that. And you know, since that time, there have been other tragedies, other terrorist acts, and different things going on in our world. And, one of the things that I remember distinctly about September 11 was I was at my place of employment, and just went inside the control room, and they had the television on in the control room, and just as I looked up, I seen that second plane coming in, and I will never, ever, ever forget that. It's just really a sad day, wasn't it? But there's been other things that have gone on, the Columbine and Sandy Hook. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, down in Orlando, that particular place, and then just this week. In Las Vegas. And so as I think about all this tragedy that's around us, and I want to say it seems like it's more and more than Paris was a few long ago, just the rally, if you will, where it really became a political thing. And that's really bothered me. Even in this tragedy in Las Vegas, there's so many that want to say, well, you know, it's the conservative followers, the liberal followers, folks, this isn't about politics at all. This is about lives. And so how should you and I as Christians, how should we respond to things like that? What should be our proper response? Well, should we bring judgment? No, we shouldn't do that, but a lot of us do that. We'll think about things, just for instance, Columbine and Sandy, those two things. You think about those, and there was a lot of good people. A lot of good Christians made mistakes with that. Well, you kick God out of school, you kick Peter out of school. That's why things like that happen. And the truth of the matter is, folks, it's not because we kicked God out of school, it's not because we kicked Peter out of school, it's not because we kicked the Ten Commandments out of school, it's because we live in a fallen world. And we need to make sure we do it. So how do we really respond to this kind of thing? Should we proclaim that God's judgment? I don't think so. Here's the thing that I know to be true. Whether this is part of God's judgment or not, people still need the Lord. And that's what our response ought to be, to present the gospel. So I want to look at a couple of things here. I want to look here in Genesis chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 9. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and had one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Sinai, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them for fuel. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Folks, the account of the Tower of Babel, we can look at it in four different scenes, really. And as we do that, if we look at the first part of that, we see where it seems like humanity is kind of, they're united, aren't they? They're together. They're going to come together for a common cause. But that unity leads into the second part of that scene, and that's where they endeavored to do what we would consider being self-centered. You know, let's do this for us. That they was searching for fame for themselves, basically what it says. You know, they're making a name for themselves. And folks, that's dangerous when we do that. So I want us to look a little bit and say, where are you going with this? Just give me a minute, we'll get through this. But what happens, folks, is they've got that pride and they try to do all this. And then God comes on the scene, you know, takes a look around and he realizes what's really going on in them. Look at verse 7 again. It says, go to, let us go down, and there confound the language that they may not understand one another's speech. Just like verse 6, he's saying, you know what, they're going to come together, they're going to do whatever they want for themselves and not for me. That's what I read that. They were looking at what they can accomplish instead of what God can accomplish through them. And so God says, you know what? They think they've got this all figured out. Well, we're going to confuse them now, and we're going to give them a language that they're not even going to understand. And folks, listen, we got to understand that this, the Tower of Babel and what took place here, although we don't see it, life being lost here, it was a tragedy because there was such confusion, such chaos at this time that they didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to turn. They couldn't understand, and they didn't know how to handle it. But as you go through that, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 13 real quick. And I want us to look at Luke 13 and look at another tower and another tragedy. In Luke chapter 13, beginning verse 1. It says, there were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. In other words, what Pilate did is he took some of the Galileans and he murdered them. Okay? And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those they came upon him, the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Thinking that they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Again, as we look at this story, folks, we've got to understand a few things, because the first part of that, basically, you had Pilate goes in there and he takes these people and he kills them. And their blood is mingled in with their sacrifices that they were giving. And here's the thing, then you've got this tower that falls and slumps. Now, was it an earthquake? What caused it? I don't know what caused it to fall. I've not done enough research to try to figure that out. But here's the thing. Jesus asked a question in both of those events. Do you suppose that those Galileans that were murdered, suppose they were greater sinners? Do you suppose that those that the tower fell upon, do you suppose they were greater sinners? And what's his answer to that? No, they weren't. But he gives this warning. He gives this warning. And the warning is this. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So what is Jesus trying to say there? I think Jesus wants to say that we need to, in a time of tragedy, rather than trying to figure out why the tragedy happened, rather than trying to bring judgment upon whoever brought about that tragedy, what we need to understand is that we are all sinners. All of us. And unless we repent, we too shall perish. Whether it's by somebody shooting us, or whether it's by natural causes, whether it's, the truth of the matter is that we will all perish. If we'll die a physical death, and if we don't repent, we will die a spiritual death as well. And so Jesus is telling us, know that. So what can we learn from these two accounts about these towers in Scripture? Well, I think the first thing that we can do is we can understand that sometimes tragedy clearly is God's judgment. Amen? Sometimes it is. Now, can we say that 9/11 was God's judgment on America? Can we say that? No, we can't. You know why we can't? Because it's not in the book. Now, we can suggest, we might think, but we can't say for sure. And so rather than trying to say, well, it's because of this or it's because of that, let's look at the people that are suffering because of that and see how that we can minister to them. What's the best thing we can do for anybody? Pray, right? And you're not going to pray, folks, but get the gospel to those people. And that's why we support missionaries. That's why we do different things to try to help people, to get the word to people about how they need a Savior, all that. But Jesus said, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So let's go try to pray what God's judgment is, just that. And you may think that, and that's okay for you to think that. But rather than trying to bring judgment, rather than trying to figure out why things happen, listen, he's wasting all time when something happens. Why does God allow it to happen? Well, first of all, God allows things to happen because he's sovereign. But things happen for the simple fact that we live in a fallen world. Because of sin. That's why things happen. Now, before you go on and say, well, Brother John said that the reason that Las Vegas happened is because of people's sin. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's because of sin, not anybody's particular specific sin. Okay? Remember when Jesus was asked a question about the blind? Who sinned, him or his parents? What did Jesus say? None. And this was done so that God could be glorified. Now, that was a paraphrase, but that's what Jesus was saying. And so things happen, sometimes we don't understand why they happen, and we may never know this side of heaven why different things happen. But folks, sometimes tragedies happen, and we are given an opportunity to share the gospel. Listen. One thing that I thought about as I heard about the events that happened in Las Vegas. One thing that I thought about was this. We live in an evil world. And we do. We live in a dark world. And when things like this happen, folks, it just seems to get a little bit darker, doesn't it? But you know what? As it gets darker, our light can shine brighter. If I was to light a candle right now in this room, just the way it's lit, how effective would that candle be? Not very good. But if we turn down all the light, that candle would become real effective, wouldn't it? And that's the way it is, folks. We live in a dark world, so let's let our candles, let's let our lights shine. Let's give people the hope that we have in Christ. I don't have an answer for everybody. I don't. But I know this. Jesus is the answer. And no matter what somebody's going through, he can get them through that time. He is the God of comfort, and that is a great thing. I want to, real quickly, I think I do. Let me check here real quick. Psalm 34. I think it's 34. Yeah. In Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now, I want you to know, why did you pick that, John? Because in verse 1 it says, at all times, his praise shall continue to be on earth. So shouldn't we, even during a time, during a tragedy, shouldn't we still be praising him? We shouldn't. You see, he is a God. Listen, there are all kinds of, we can look for the bad in everything, or we can look for the good. We can see where God's working in situations. There's been many stories that I've seen where somebody was shielding whether it was a wife or children or somebody else. Others that had been shot were still trying to provide first aid to other victims. I mean, there's some great things there, listen. God still gives hope, even in tragedies. And we've been facing some tragedies in our nation. Not just that shooting in Las Vegas, not the one in Virginia, not all. But what about the hurricanes? What about tornadoes that happen? What about flooding? All these different things. Folks, these tragedies, they affect people all around us. I don't know if y'all heard that there was a woman who shot and killed her husband in Verona. Actually, just pretty much out across the road from where I live. That happened last night. So there is a family that had a tragedy. I don't know if there were those circumstances. I don't know if there's any children. But you know what? I can give them hope, can't I? I can share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Why did something like that happen? I don't know. Why did that man in Las Vegas do it? I don't know. But I'm telling you, folks, we got hope for America. Not just America, but for the world. And that hope is Jesus Christ. So rather than trying to figure out everything, let's just share the love of Christ. Listen, so how should we respond to times of tragedy? I think the way we ought to respond is by prayer. And by sending the message of hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So I just want to—I didn't tell you guys anything you don't know. I know that. But when tragedies happen, when heartache comes, let's give you that hope. And so we need to share with people that hope that we have. All right. Let's go a little prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for the blessings of life, and I pray, Lord, that you would use us as we see people struggling through life, whether it's a tragedy of loss of a loved one, or we see a tragedy on a grand scheme, Lord, such as in Las Vegas. I pray, Lord, that you would use your people to bring hope to this lost and dying world. Father, I want to thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord. I thank you for the life that you give. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for this church on the side of the road. And I pray, Lord, that you would just use us in our community, Lord, where people might see the love of Christ in us. Lord, we want to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I thank you for all that you do, and most of all, I want to thank you for Jesus.